On the diplomatic front, U.S. officials this past week continued discussions to move toward handing over some degree of sovereignty to Iraqis by the end of June. The United Nations became increasingly involved in that effort this past week, and U.N. envoy Lakhdar Brahimi said it was increasingly clear to him that many members of the U.S.-appointed Iraq Governing Council would not be included in a new Iraqi government. Noah Feldman is a former advisor to Iraq's occupation authority. He's an assistant professor at the New York University School of Law, and he joins us by phone this morning from New Haven, Connecticut. Good morning, Noah.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. This past week, the Bush administration officials introduced this concept of handing over limited sovereignty to the Iraqis. What might that mean?
In a sense, it's just a contradiction in terms. The sovereign in a country is the power that has the last say, and you can't really have the last say in a country unless you command the army. So in a sense, you can't really claim to be sovereign if someone else runs your army. In another sense, it just means that we'll call the government the sovereign. We'll just use that word. And at the same time, we'll limit their capacity to act.
Brahimi is taking the lead in saying that current members of the Iraq Governing Council will not be a part of a new Iraqi government, especially such former U.S. darlings as Ahmad Shalabi. Shalabi and others are very unpopular in Iraq. Is the U.N. forcing the United States to abandon these old allies?
The special representative of the Secretary General is trying to buy some legitimacy for a government that's not going to be elected. And one way he can do that is by telling Iraqis that some names with which they're not particularly in favor will not be part of the government. He's trying to signal that this will not be a U.S. puppet.
But while taking the forefront on this, is Brahimi doing something that American officials in Iraq have come to think is needed?
At this point, I don't think that the U.S. or the coalition provisional authority has any choice. We need Brahimi to negotiate some kind of a government for us so that we can transfer partial sovereignty to somebody on June 30th.
This past week, the Bush administration's lead man in Iraq, Paul Bremer, said that there was some need to change the de-Ba'athification policy of removing former Ba'ath Party members from any role in government service. Now, how is that going to sit with Iraqis who suffered under Saddam Hussein, who was the leader of the Ba'ath Party?
It's a catch-22. For many Iraqis who really hated the Ba'ath Party, this will be an upsetting decision, and they'll say, well, the occupation is selling us out. But for many, many other Iraqis, including some Iraqis who've been sympathetic to the insurgency that's going on, excluding the Ba'ath has been a kind of heavy-handed way to say that certain people are the bad ones. And, of course, that's not the reality on the ground. They were people who joined the Ba'ath Party despite not being such terrible people. They were people who joined to get along and to get ahead in life. And reincorporating those people, I think, is hoped by the coalition, will begin the process of getting more Iraqis involved in the positive side of development in the country. And I think that's really why we see that change in policy happening now.
How do you tell who's who?
Pretty difficult. Professor Frank Manuel, who was a U.S. intelligence operative after the war in France, once told me that he would go from village to village, and half the village would say they were the resistance, and we were the resistance, and they were the bad guys. The other half would say the same, and they would just move on to the next village. Very often, you'll have contradictory reports.
How do you think the Vice President Dick Cheney and Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld are going to take it if someone and their old allies like Ahmad Shalabi are not included in this government?
There's going to be frustration with that, and I think you're already beginning to hear voices saying, if only Chalabi had been given a bigger role earlier in the entire reconstruction process, we wouldn't be in the fix that we're in now. So that will be one way that the argument can be made. But the bottom line is that because things in Iraq have gone so much worse, have gone so differently from the way that group of folks anticipated them going, they don't have much standing now to object. And at this point, the U.S. government is concertedly devoted to a policy of transferring sovereignty on June 30th, and if it looks like involving Chalabi would be an impediment to that, then it's definitely he's not going to be involved.
And briefly, Noah, I mean, how do you see the transition taking place, particularly as you say things are going badly if all this violence continues?
Best case scenario right now for June 30th is that a president, some vice presidents, and a prime minister are approved to exercise essentially caretaker powers until January elections. And then the U.S. military will remain in place to try to guarantee the peace. If we can make progress on the security front and that caretaker body can remain as a formal exerciser of governing authority to bring us to elections, with its main job being bringing us to elections, then we might be able to get back onto the right track. But there's no guarantees that that'll happen at all.
Noah Feldman is an assistant professor at the New York University School of Law. He's the author of After Jihad, America and the Struggle for Islamic Democracy, published by Farrar, Straus & Giroux. Noah, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.